The sermon text is the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. He said, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Simeon has at least one more thing on his bucket list. Before he goes home to heaven, Simeon wants to see the Savior for himself. The Simeon is a believer in the Lord, the God of Israel, and because he trusts in the Lord, he also trusts the promise that the Lord has made that he is sending a Messiah, a Savior into the world for Israel and for all people. And graciously, God has decided to grant Simeon this request to see the Savior before God calls Simeon home to heaven. So the Holy Spirit gives Simeon directions to wait in the temple on a certain day. And on that day, Simeon sees walking into the temple a young mother named Mary, her husband Joseph, and the little baby Jesus. And when Simeon takes that little boy Jesus into his arms, he knows that he is holding much more than just a little baby boy. But Simeon understands he is also holding salvation from God in the flesh in his arms. Simeon knows that this little baby boy has come to bring salvation for Simeon, but not just for him alone, for all people. And so when Simeon bursts out in this beautiful song of praise, the song of salvation, this is what he says: "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." See, that boy that little Simeon is holding brings salvation for Simeon, for you, for me, for Jews, for Gentiles, for all people of every time and every place. And did you know that already on that day, 8 days after his birth, that little boy Jesus was busy working for our salvation? Can I ask you a personal question? What were you up to? What were you achieving when you were 8 days old? I'm guessing you probably weren't doing much besides crying and sleeping. You know what Jesus was doing? He was busy saving us. See, God had given a law to the Israelites in the Old Testament that every little Israelite boy had to be circumcised in the temple exactly 8 days after his birth. And that's why Mary and Joseph walked into the temple that day with the little boy Jesus, to keep that law from the Old Testament. And Jesus is not only going to keep that Old Testament law, but as he grows, he is going to keep working for our salvation by keeping all of God's commandments perfectly. Not just the commands that God gave to the Israelites, but the entire moral code that God also requires from you and me. Jesus is going to keep all of those demands perfectly because we have not. He is going to keep all of the law of God perfectly in our place, for our salvation. And of course, this little baby Jesus, his work for our salvation is not going to end until about 3 decades later when he climbs up to his cross, bleeds and dies to wash away all of our sins. And you know, when Simeon was holding that baby Jesus, the Holy Spirit also gave him eyes to look into the future and to see the finish of Jesus' saving work, to see that death on the cross. This is why when Simeon finished his beautiful song of salvation, he also said to the boy's mother, Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. See, on that day, Simeon was looking ahead and predicting the horrible death that Jesus would also die for our salvation, a death that would naturally bring tremendous grief and anguish to Jesus' mother, Mary. So when Simeon holds the little boy Jesus, he knows he is holding salvation. He is holding the one who will die for the sins of the whole world, but not until he has kept every last little dot and stroke of God's commands for our salvation and for the salvation of all people. Now, this beautiful song of salvation that Simeon sang in the temple has come to be known, not very creative, but it is accurate, as the Song of Simeon. And because I suffered through 6 years of Latin and I don't get a chance to use it very often, I will also tell you that the Song of Simeon is known by the Latin name Nunc Dimittis, which means now you dismiss. See, Simeon had God's salvation in front of his eyes, in his arms, and most importantly, he had it in his heart. And that inspired Simeon to say, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, hopefully, when you hear the words of that song, it sounds familiar to you. The Song of Simeon should sound familiar to you because we sing it here at Trinity on most Sundays when we celebrate communion. Right after the distribution, we stand as a congregation and we sing the Song of Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis, together. Have you ever asked yourself, when we stand up to sing the Song of Simeon, have you ever asked yourself, why are we singing this? And why are we singing it right now? Why here in the worship service? You know, at its core, Christian worship, the worship that we do here at Trinity, has one main goal, and that is to hold the salvation of Jesus Christ out in front of you so that you can see and hear Christ's salvation, so you can even touch it and taste it in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Everything we do here, from the invocation, which reminds you of your saving baptism, the confession and absolution that announces the forgiveness of Christ to you, the word that you hear in the lessons, the law and gospel in the sermon, and of course, the salvation of Christ in his body and blood and communion, it is all designed to do one main thing, and that is to place the salvation of Christ before your eyes, in your ears, and even in your hands and in your mouth. Now, Simeon, in God's house of the temple, he held the salvation and saw the salvation of Jesus Christ. And then Simeon was ready to go. He was ready to depart this world in peace. Here, in this house of God, you see and hear and taste and touch the salvation of Jesus Christ. And then you, like Simeon, are also ready to go. You are ready to depart in peace. That's why we sing the Song of Simeon where we do in the worship service. But now, what exactly are we asking God for when we stand up and sing that song after communion? When we say, I have seen your salvation here today, let me go in peace. Well, I think one thing we mean is what Simeon meant. When we stand up and sing that song, we're saying, Lord, next Sunday is not promised to anyone. And Lord, if this happens to be the week that you decide to call me to your side in heaven, Lord, I'm ready to go from this world in peace. Lord, here today, I just saw your salvation. I just heard it, tasted it, and touched it. And Lord, if this is the week you want me, my heart is at peace. I know my sins are forgiven, and I know where I'm going. Lord, if this is the week, let me depart in peace. Now, assuming that this is not the week that God is going to call you home to heaven, you are still making a very important prayer when you sing that song. Lord, when I depart from this place where I've seen your salvation and I go out into that dark world, Lord, let me continue my song of salvation. Let the peace in my heart overflow in everything that I say and do during this week. Lord, let me go home and show the joy of my salvation living as a godly parent or a godly child. Lord, let me depart in peace, go to my job and work hard, not just to get a paycheck, Lord, but also to give glory to you. Lord, let the joy of my salvation show in the way that I treat the old lady who lives next door with respect and with dignity. See, this is what a Christian does when they see God's salvation here and then they head out into the world. They let their whole life be a song of peace and joy in the salvation of Christ. And there really is no moment of your life when you can't do that. Wherever God has placed you in this world, whatever station, your whole life is a song of joy and peace in Christ's salvation. Now I wonder how often we see our lives that way. How often do we see our whole lives as one big, long song of salvation, peace and thanksgiving to God for the gift of Christ? I'm not proud of this, really, but I really like watching game shows. It's not something to be proud of, but I like watching game shows because I like wasting time, first of all. But secondly, I think you can learn a lot from watching game shows, and not just the nerdy game shows, the quiz shows like Jeopardy. I think you can learn a lot by watching the lowbrow, juvenile game shows, too, like Let's Make a Deal. You ever watched Let's Make a Deal before, the current incarnation hosted by Wayne Brady? It's on in the afternoon on CBS. As part of Let's Make a Deal, you know, the contestants have to pick door number one, door number two, door number three. And basically, there's three different kinds of gifts, prizes, that they can get behind the door. You can get the beautiful grand prize, like a Mustang, something like that. You can get the prize that really isn't the prize. It's the booby prize, like a goat tied to a post, something like that. And then usually they get something in between, like a new entertainment system or a washer and dryer, something like that. And it's always fascinating to me to watch the reaction of the contestants when their gift is revealed. You know, when it is an old goat tied to a post, the contestants express no thanksgiving, no appreciation at all. They don't even say something like, "Well, Wayne, I didn't get the Mustang, but it was fun being on TV. Thanks for giving me a shot." Now they just plop back down into their chair like the world has ended. And then if they get something like the washer, dryer, the entertainment system, Wayne might get like a quick handshake or a peck on the cheek. But when it's the Mustang, poor Wayne, I mean, he has to like defend himself because he's getting tackled and maimed by these contestants. They're so happy, they're so filled with joy and thanksgiving for that great gift, that they can't contain themselves. And one of the things you learn about human beings from watching shows like this is that our level of joy and our level of thanksgiving almost always matches the size and the importance of the gift that we receive. So, what does it mean if I go through my life just sort of mindlessly drifting from activity to activity? I'm just sort of going through the motions. I'm not really seeing any of these things as an opportunity to sing my song of salvation, to express the joy of Christ in my life. Am I not saying that God's gift to me isn't really all that important? Am I not treating it a little bit like an old goat tied to a post? You know, if we're going to sing the song of salvation and sing it with thanksgiving and with peace throughout our whole lives, it's important for us to understand just how big, just how significant the gift is of salvation that God gives us in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's important to stop and think about just how big this is. You know, when we say in the confession of sins, "I deserve only your wrath and punishment," this is not just a line that we say in church. It's not just something we say to sound nice and humble. This is reality. And when God tells us in his word, "For every violation of my commandments, you deserve nothing from me except condemnation," that we deserve to stand before God on judgment day and hear him say, "For every time you sinned against me, get away from me, stay away from me forever, and burn while you're at it." That's the reality of what we have coming, what we deserve from God. And no parole, no early release, no second chances. And the rest of the reality is this, that in the gift of Christ, the gift of salvation that Simeon held in his arms, and the gift that we see and hear and taste and touch during our worship, that in Jesus, who already at 8 days old was keeping all of God's commandments for us, and who finally finished his work on the cross of Calvary, God took that reality and turned it completely around from separation and suffering forever to being right at God's side in eternal peace and eternal unity with our Heavenly Father. He took us from the depths of hell to the height of heaven. He does it in the gift of the baby boy that Simeon held in his arms and who we see here. And it is this gift of salvation that moves us to sing with our whole lives. Amen.